Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And away we go. 7:05 on News Radio 700 WLW. It's Bengals Line presented by Bud Light. We're at the Holy Grail Banks, the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. Thanks to Vinny Ray for spending time with us in the first hour. Dave, can we go ahead and welcome in our second guest tonight?
Let's do it to it.
Let's do it. He is the fourth-year center out of North Carolina.
Yes.
Number 61, Russell Bodine.
Here we go. And the man can sell, he can close, because bringing the lovely lady to the Holy Grail.
Yeah, I'll introduce
introduce your significant other here.
That's my girlfriend, Cody.
Cody, very nice to meet you. Take care of our guy, Russell. Okay, very nice to meet you. So, the game yesterday, Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, to me, he's pretty clever, and, you know, he'll go 3-4, 4-3, five-man looks, you know, and put a lot of pressure on center and quarterback to not only, and coaches, to not only recognize personnel, but recognition of that personnel. Not necessarily, you know, heavy-duty blitz, but was there personnel recognition? Was that one of the biggest things that you had to key on for that football game?
Yeah, going into it, like you're talking about, they do a lot of stuff. They had three different nickel groups, you know, where they have, you know, they still have their two linebackers in there. My bad.
There you go.
But, you know, they had three different nickel groups and stuff like that where they're constantly just rolling different guys. And you know, they had some injuries up front. So we kind of – you were kind of waiting to see who was going to play where and what spots, you know. And they actually had their one of their linebackers playing defensive end for a majority of the
right.
games. Well, he's still playing Sam, but basically defensive end
right.
in that 3-4
right.
scheme. So there was some of that identification stuff you're talking about, but it wasn't anything too crazy. Yeah, everything went smooth in that department.
Russell, take us back through the week. How did the week of practice – it was a weird week, short week because of the Monday night game. How did the week of practice go leading into yesterday?
You know, like you said, short week, so obviously it's not a physical week. You're not getting a lot of you know, you're not out there banging on Wednesday like you would be in a regular week. But it's all mental. You know, you go in – we had Tuesday off after the game, and you come back in Wednesday, we jump right into it. You know, you don't really get a chance to sit there and watch – you know, watch the game you just played as much. It's, you kind of have to just take that next game up, you know, approach. And it's all mental. You know, it's just as many mental reps as you can get, as much film as you can get, all that stuff.
You know, it's, I remember playing the position that when you're watching the tape, the offensive line play isn't significantly different maybe from week to week, but the playmakers, when they make plays, everything's rosy. If it's off a tick, everything's not, you know. And yesterday, like Marvin said, it was off a tick, you know. Like Andy was on a heck of a roll. I mean, he was as good as anybody in the league. Quarterback rating well over 100, 20 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions since the opener. And yesterday, just a little bit behind on some throws, a little bit off. And A.J. was a little bit off, like Marvin said, just a tick off with these two guys that – normally you lean on offensively to make plays, and when plays aren't being made, it's hard to get that spark going. And I mean, it's like you're waiting for something to happen. It's like, you know, never really happens.
Yeah, I mean, clearly we struggled to get things going and play consistently on offense. But you know, that really just kind of goes back to the things people talk about all the time. It sounds cliche, but that the margin of error is so small. I mean, you're talking, you know, a pass that's 2 feet behind somebody
right.
is a tip ball and interception instead of, you know, a completion for
right.
for 15 yards. And, you know, it's those things that you just have to be consistent all the time, and you have to perform at the highest level. And, you know, obviously we didn't do that well enough yesterday.
From week one to through now, do you feel better about where this offensive line is and the progress that's been made?
Yeah, I certainly think we've made some progress. Obviously, we started out pretty slow, not what you're looking for. Definitely struggling to run the ball the last few weeks. We've got some things going a little bit. Even yesterday, I think we only had 3 runs that we consider inefficient, less than 4 yards.
Gio had 60 at the half.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, and no negative yardage runs. You know, we had no negative runs in all day. And, you know, the way the game went, we obviously didn't get a chance to stick with that. We were having to, you know, when you start getting down early, then you gotta start throwing it around a little bit. And so as far as the run game goes, yeah, we've made some progress. Obviously, we're not where we need to be. So
it seems like there was a focus when things started to improve in the run game of running between the tackles and just really coming downhill and, you know, attacking that interior a little bit more. I know that's your game. That's what you like to do. Is that pretty fair assessment-wise that you guys really started to attack in the interior more?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was, you know, we kind of took a step back and looked at what we were doing well, what we weren't doing well. You know, some of the mid-zone stuff, some of the gap schemes. And, you know, I guess we kind of cut down a little bit what we're doing and said we're going to be good at these things that we think we're good at, and this is what we need to do to be successful. And, you know, you look at the difference in a successful run and an unsuccessful run is 2 yards. You know, a lot of times that comes down to finish, pile push, stuff like that, all those things. And we've been trying to put an emphasis on those things. And, you know, telling the backs if it's blocked for 3, you know, run into the back of us, push the pile, make that 3-5 or that 5-7 or anything like that. And, you know, if you're going to start getting into stats, you know, a 7-yard run makes a big difference in your average versus that 7 does a lot to cancel out that 2, where that 5 or that 4 doesn't. I mean, if you're going to start looking at stats, those are the things that kind of make a difference. And they make a difference in the football game, too. I mean, you know, the difference in a 2nd and 7 versus a 2nd and 5 is, you know, it opens up a whole new just gamut of plays that you know, for your coordinator to be calling.
Wide open, yeah. When you think about it, too, I think that the running backs, Joe, was getting those shoulder pads squared up and turning 3-yard gain into a 6, you know, and Gio's doing the same thing. You know, it's like once you guys get them going to that second level or beyond, once they square those pads up, you know, they're either breaking making guys miss or else, you know, getting some yards after that contact once they're, you know, coming downhill with a little authority. Have you guys noticed that they've actually, you know, improved in that area, yards after contact?
Yeah, you know, and Gio, that's something Gio's been doing for a long time now. You know, he's not a big back, you would say, but, I mean, the guy runs the ball as hard as you can ask somebody to run it. And, you know, you're not seeing guys, you know, the first guy, the cliche, you know, you're not seeing the first guy bring him down or, you know, all that stuff or if they are, it's, you know, dragging that tackle for that extra couple yards that we're talking about. And, you know, Joe's, I mean, leaps and bounds ahead of where he was at the beginning of the season. You know, we've been working with him, you know, be patience, but not every run's going to be not just an individual run. Not every run's going to be a home run.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes you're going to have to cram it up in there for 3, and that's what's there. That's just how that goes. And you just turn, you know, you keep wearing on a defense, and that 3 turns to 5, that 5 turns to 7, and then you break one, and it's 20. And, you know, that the run game's not a – it's not a home run kind of mentality a lot of times. Obviously, it's great when you hit them, but it's, you know, you got to grind through that a lot of times and, you know, kind of use that to wear the defense down for later in the game.
We talked with Joe was with us a couple of weeks ago, and we talked with him about him going to the offensive line and the dialogue he had with you guys. And Eric Winston was here and told us how impressed he was by Joe doing that. What did it mean? What did it show you about Joe when he wanted to open up the line of communication with you guys?
You know, obviously that just shows you he cares, and not that we had any doubts about that before, you know, but just, you know, when things weren't going, you know, necessarily the way that we wanted to go in the run game, you know, we all kind of were, that was kind of the week we took a step back and looked at it, and, you know, we had talked about it in our meeting rooms, and obviously the running back room is separate from the O-line room, and, you know, we talked about it with the coaches, but to kind of get that little, obviously, that mesh has to be good. You know,
right.
He has to be on the same page as us. We have to be on the same page as him. And, you know, to just kind of take that step back, talk about what he was seeing, what we were seeing, and that kind of stuff. You know, obviously, anytime you can get it, you get that communication opened up and make sure that everybody's on the same page, you know, that's not going to be anything but beneficial.
You know, running the proper tracks and pressing the line of scrimmage, you know, before you get right up with you guys before the cuts, all those things are so important, all the rhythm and timing of that, and it doesn't necessarily happen overnight. What do you think the tackle rotation that was going on? It seems like when Andre settled in, you know, at right tackle, and you know everybody knew exactly, you know, what was happening. And I'm not saying that the rotation wasn't merited. You know, everybody deserves to play. But the fact that now everybody's working next – I'm a big believer. I'm old school, but I'm a big believer in when you play a lot of snaps next to each other, you get that unspoken, you know, communication kind of going. You feel – you know exactly what the guy next to you is doing more so. Repetition breeds comfort level in that regard. Are you a believer in that type of thing?
Yeah, I would definitely say there's truth to that. I mean, a lot of times, especially in, you know, you're like the situations you're describing, you know, late, all of a sudden somebody's moving to a spot that they weren't lined up at, and this call didn't account for that, and all of a sudden you just know what that guy's going to do and how everything's going to fit together. Obviously, the more you play together, the more you mesh, the more, you know, everybody's on the same page, and, you know, that is helpful. You know, the rotation, obviously, that's not coming from us as players. That's, you know, I suppose you could say that's above our pay grade. So
Right. You
got to go out there and, you know, you got to go out there and play with who's playing. And obviously everybody needs to do their job. And if you get all 11 guys doing your job, then, you know, you'll be successful.
Guys, let's take a timeout. We're up and running in this hour. Sure. Russell Bodine, our special guest from the Holy Grail Banks, Bengals Line, presented by Bud Light on the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network and News Radio 700 WLW. 7:19 on News Radio 700 WLW. It's Bengals Line, presented by Bud Light from the Holy Grail Banks, the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. Lance McAllister, Dave Lapham, and our special guest in this hour is Russell Bodine.
And since we've got an offensive lineman here, we're going to do a couple of recaps. The O-line lives vicariously through the success of the offensive skill players, quote, skill. I think the O-line has more skill. I think the O-line can throw the ball and run the ball better than those guys can block. But that's just my opinion anyway, as a former O-lineman. It's time for our James Street Jewelers Gem of the Game. Giovanni Bernard, yesterday's James Street Jewelers Gem of the Game. Gio won a gift card to James Street Jewelers. Does anyone pay retail for a diamond anymore? Not at James Free, an official partner of the Bengals. Gio, 11 rushes, 62 yards, 5.6 yards per effort. 21-yard run was the long. That was beautiful. A little gap counter. Bowling got his block, said get out. Nice little path around the right side for Gio. He also caught 6 passes for 68 more yards, long reception of 27. And McDonald's Pounder Play recap brought to you by McDonald's. We're loving it. We're all loving it. First and 10 from the Bengals 39-yard line, 5 minutes and 2 seconds to go, the first quarter. Gio burst off the right side for 21 big yards. So that was pretty good day for Giovanni Bernard, who, you guys are teammates, right, in North Carolina?
Oh, we were. We were. We actually came in the same recruiting class.
And that dude competes now. That's a tough, tough guy. I mean, big, you know, sometimes you can't tell what's happening in some small packages. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Gio's a competitor, and, you know, you can see that every time he touches the ball. I mean, talk about whatever you want about him being a smaller back and all that stuff, but, you know, he's going out there running as hard as anybody and fighting and scratching and clawing for yards. And,
no doubt.
Sometimes you almost wish, like, hey, just go down. Don't get blasted at the end, you know. But he won't do it, so obviously that's, you know, a big credit to him.
Vinny was just here prior to you. He's a Duke guy. Did you guys have a bet on Duke, North Carolina this year?
So we did last year, and what was it, 2 years ago? And so, long story short, he ended up wearing a T-shirt. And then I kind of was a little worried about this one, so I didn't say a whole lot, slid under the radar, and this year there was no wager.
Gotcha. No wager this year?
Gotcha.
See, Vinny's a lot busier with child and he's got number 2 coming in February.
I would imagine he's a pretty busy man these days.
Yeah, how about that?
Two young daughters. Man. Now, I'm trying to remember. Your dad was a football coach, or is he still a football coach?
Yeah, he coaches JV at my high school.
And brothers, football players as well?
No brothers. Younger sister.
Is she an athlete?
Yeah, she played softball at Queens College in Charlotte.
Really?
And for 3 years, 2 years, and then she was a pitcher, she hurt her shoulder, and that was the end of that.
I met your dad, I'm trying to think of what game it was, in the elevator at the team hotel. Big dude, man. I mean,
I think it was in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
I think it was in Pittsburgh.
You guys, I mean, it's like, you know, he spit you out. It's like, dude, you're just like, you and your dad, you could be almost like twins.
That's what they say. That's what they say. It's pretty everybody can kind of put the pieces together.
There. There you go. That was a good one. That's an easy puzzle.
Fork Union Military Academy, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah. So he is still there at the academy?
Yeah, he's still there.
Still there. Coaching head coach, or is he line coach?
He's the head coach of JV.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. So what does he do on varsity game day? Does he help with that as well? Or?
He helps out a little bit. They actually play a lot of Saturday games.
Okay.
Private school league plays a bunch of Saturday games. So some of those he's not at because they're coming up here to go
right.
to games. But,
right.
For the most part, he's helping out with sidelines, you know, O-line stuff, all that.
So they come to almost all your games at home?
I won't say all, but probably half the home games. They probably make it to 3 or 4 years.
Sweet.
What is the what's life like as a student athlete at a military academy?
So I'm not even gonna lie, it wasn't it was mostly boarding school, but I didn't live there. There were about 20 guys, I would say a lot of faculty kids, or at least kids that lived close. That they didn't board there, so we didn't have to sleep there. We didn't have to deal with all that stuff. We got to go home every night. They made fun of us for, oh, you guys got it easy, all that, you know. But we'd get there at 7, you know, whatever. We still had to, even though you didn't live there, they made you maintain a room, all that stuff, just like you did.
Wow.
You know, wall locker, make your bed, all that fun stuff. You just didn't sleep in it, which was easy.
Right.
My roommate would actually mess my bed up while I wasn't there, so that I'd have to make it every day. And you know, but it's a little different. Obviously, very very strict scheduling. You know, you're expected to be on time for everything. If you're on time, you're late. That kind of
right,
mentality.
Yeah. 5 minutes early.
Shave your face, shine your shoes, all that stuff. You know, as far as that goes, it wasn't anything too crazy.
With respect to the O-line, when you know, Witt moves on, Zeitler moves on. Obviously, that's a couple of big pieces for a few years. Now you got a different group of guys. I know your meetings, your meeting room with Paul Alexander, it's like you guys all, it's almost like a symposium. I mean, everybody's making recommendations, suggestions, what you see, best way to deal with guys from technique standpoint and all that. Is it still that type of scenario? And
yeah, it's still that way. I think, you know, obviously I've never been anywhere else, but I do think that's kind of unique.
Right.
It is a very open dialogue. You know, we watch the, we spend a lot of time watching every rusher. You know, we'll have cut-ups of, you know, his inside moves, his bull rushes, his this, his that. And we kind of all spitball together and figure out the best way to block that guy. And, you know, I think we've had a lot of success, you know, taking out their best players, you know. And I think that definitely can be attributed to the fact that we spend so much time, you know, studying individuals as opposed to just X's and O's.
Was Hicks the guy that you keyed on this week, Hicks from the Bears? That big
yeah,
old beast inside.
I definitely think he's their best defensive lineman. He's a really good player, obviously a big guy, strong guy.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's probably, 6'6". They got him listed at 335. That was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah,
and
that's a few pregame meals ago.
Yeah, that's pre-Thanksgiving.
There you go.
he's a good player for sure. And but again, you know what you're getting into going into it. You know, that's what all that film study's for. That's what all that is. And you know when you get one of those guys, you got your work cut out for you. But you still obviously got to do your job.
Right.
In a day and age where we see players dealing with injuries left and right, one of the things that jumps out about you is your durability and your consistency. You've taken all 747 snaps this year, and for your career, you have taken 99.3%. Of the snaps. Out of a possible 4,144, you've taken 4,115. That's all but 29. That's got to be something you're pretty proud of, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I obviously think it's important to go out there and answer the bell, be there for your teammates, and go out and compete. Obviously, I would say a little bit of that can be attributed to luck. Let's not jinx it, but
with some wood.
You know, for sure. That's kind of one of those topics that kind of skate around, you know. We're not going to talk.
Sorry
about
that, Russell. I'd like to withdraw the question.
Yeah. We'll just keep that going. But
let's erase that tape. Rewind.
We won't put it on the podcast. Right.
But no, yeah. For sure. I mean, obviously, that I think that's important. I think, you know, especially as a center, that communication stuff. It's got to be consistent. Everybody's got to be on the same page. You got to be handling that stuff. So I think it's important to be out there for the guys and go compete.
And the relationship. In that regard, from a communication standpoint, quarterback and center is so necessary. So so needed. Andy Dalton has been remarkably durable as well. Find some more wood again. And you and Andy, you know, have been really for a high, high percentage, not as high as you individually, but you guys have been the battery, you know. It's you guys have handled there's two guys that handle the ball every play offensively, no matter what, you and your quarterback. And you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You guys have done a great job of that. How easy is it to work with Andy in that regard? How good is he in that?
Oh, I mean, he's very easy to work with. Most of the stuff we're doing as far as communication-wise is blitz pickup, all that
sure.
stuff. And, you know, we've obviously got to be on the same page there. And obviously every, you know, that's, again, that goes back to film study and communication and on-the-field stuff. You know, it's one of those things that it's, I think film study is really a huge part of that. And Andy's great at recognizing us and getting us to the right guys and all that stuff. You know, our plays have, you know, base calls, all that stuff
sure.
where we're starting out at, and, you know, he'll adjust it from there. But he's great at that. He really is.
Guys, let's take a timeout. We're rolling in this hour.
Yes,
we're at the Holy Grail Banks. It's Bengals Line presented by Bud Light. Our special guest is Russell Bodine till 8 o'clock tonight. We're on the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network and the home of the best Bengals coverage, News Radio 700 WLW. 7:34 on News Radio 700 WLW, the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. This is Bengals Line presented by Bud Light. We're at the Holy Grail Banks.
Yes.
First hour guest tonight was Vinny Ray. Our second hour guest is Russell Bodine, kind enough to hang out with us.
Absolutely. And looking ahead to Minnesota, Mike Zimmer, you know you're going to get over defense, cover three, third down, double A gap. You know, he's going to do whatever he does out of the double A gap look. And Xavier Rhodes is going to shadow A.J. Green all over the field. It's not going to be anything, you know, tricky or cute or anything like that. It's going to be like, got to go beat him, right? I mean, you just got to take care of business.
Yeah, obviously it's going to be very similar to our defense.
Right.
You
but
know,
look at the mirror.
Exactly. It's going to be, different personnel, same scheme. And
yep.
So there should be. Certainly a level of familiarity there, but they're a hard-playing bunch, the whole defense. I mean, that's the thing that really stands out for them is all 11 guys flying to the ball, playing hard. And we've definitely got our work cut out for us, but, again, you know, you know what you're getting into, and you just have to match for sure and even, you know, exceed their effort. And I honestly believe that'll be kind of the difference in how Sunday goes.
Do you remember when they came – obviously, you remember it, but when they came down here and you guys scrimmaged before the preseason game, were you impressed with what they had from a personnel standpoint when you guys practiced a couple, 3 days against each other?
Yeah, certainly they have good players, and, you know, obviously their defensive ends stand out. You know, Everson Griffin's got that, you know, he's kind of the big name there. And again, just going back to that whole group was just playing hard, you know, even in practicing hard, running to the ball, flying to the ball. And obviously you kind of notice that sort of stuff. And, you know, I just think that's kind of going to be our biggest challenge. You know, obviously things haven't gone the way, you know, we wanted to go all year. They haven't gone, didn't go the way we wanted to go last week. And you kind of got a little bit of a decision to make. You know, what are you going to go out there and finish out the year doing? You know, are you going to go out there and kind of just get through it? Or are you going to go out and fight and play hard? And, you know, certainly you know what you're going to get from them. So you better be prepared for it.
We've talked about the importance of communication. Give us an idea. Give me a stadium in the division and one outside the division in terms of tough places, loud, and that put a real strain on communication at the line for you.
I would say Pittsburgh gets pretty loud. You know, they go play their fourth quarter hype
yeah,
video.
Yeah, that thing's
and,
crazy. Yeah.
You know, that'll get you going. It doesn't matter which team you're playing for.
Right.
And they'll get their terrible towels out there on third down, and you better be ready to yell. You're going to be a little hoarse at the end of the game. I remember, too, going to New England. Obviously still in the conference, but going to New England. We played that night game up there a while back, and it was pretty loud up there, too.
They are rabid. They're in full throat. This one will be interesting. You know, beautiful new stadium. Crowd will be into it. It's a dome. So obviously, when you are on the road like that, how much during the course of the week do you practice all week long? Like it's nobody has, you know, do you guys put earplugs in? Nobody can hear each other. I know you play music, you know, during practice to try to kind of simulate. But can you simulate what it is like when those crowds are going absolutely nuts?
You know, crowd noise has always been, obviously, it's something you got to deal with all the time, but there's not anything you can do about it. I mean, you yell louder. I mean, that's really all it is. And, you know, you're making points and protections and stuff like that. You got to make sure you hold that point a little bit longer.
Right.
Because that running back there is not going to hear you yelling what number you're going to.
Right.
You know, and so it's just stuff like that. You just have to put a little extra emphasis on you know, making sure everybody's on the same page. And does it take a split second longer? Maybe so. But, you know, obviously a lot of teams are handling crowd noise every week, and it's kind of to be expected in the NFL.
So take us through, you're on the road, and you'll see a center all the time pointing. You know, he's pointing to one of the linebackers. Why are you pointing to him, and what are you pointing to him for? And then the other thing you'll see, you know, a lot of teams, you're going to get tapped on the butt by your left guard. You know, and is that silent snap count trigger? I mean, you know, just about every team on the road, they have their left guard, you know, patting that center, and then it's a little bit of a silent snap count, and the ball comes up out of there. I mean, those are the kind of things you have to deal with on the road?
Obviously the silent, going back to the guard, hitting them, that really takes care of the loud part of it. You know what I mean? You're not listening for the snap count, so you really don't have to worry about that part. As far as like we just talked about, you know, the points and all that stuff, you know, obviously that's 99% of that's Mike points and all that stuff.
You're pointing out the Mike linebacker for protection purposes.
Yeah. And, so, you know, again, you just have to take a little extra second, do your due diligence, make sure everybody's on the same page, backs, tight ends, all that stuff. Yell a little louder. That's really all you can do. Echo the calls out. You know, if somebody can't hear it, well, maybe now your guard's got to tell your tackle and your tackle's got to tell your tight end. But, you know, there's really not much you can do about it other than just take that extra split second and do your due diligence and make sure everybody's on the same page.
And people are saying, well, what do you mean? I mean, the Mike backer, sometimes you have defensive backs lined up at linebacker positions when they're playing nickel and dime and all that sort of thing. So everybody, you have to have a starting point that everybody can work from, correct?
Yeah, I mean, your mic's not always your mic.
Right.
It's as ridiculous as that sounds, but that is how it is, especially you start getting into those third down situations, nickel dime, all that stuff.
They'll have different numbers on. They won't be linebacker numbers.
Walk around defensive line, linemen, and it can get a little complicated in some of those scenarios, but that's, you know, again, it's just part of it. You know, obviously it goes back to film study. The best thing you can do is go in being prepared, knowing what you're about to get, and, you know, put yourself ahead of the ball that way.
From a film study standpoint, we talk about this a lot with guys who join us. Who do you credit someone for teaching you that process, making you more comfortable in it? Is it something you just gravitate or learn naturally?
I'll say for sure that in our room, you know, the way we talked about how it's kind of an open group thing that we you know, you come in and obviously you're watching film, but there's certain little things that you need to pick up on. And some of that open dialogue obviously helps. You know, when you have all those guys watching the same film, talking about the same stuff, you know, maybe you miss something that somebody else picks up.
Sure.
And, you know, you start looking at, you know, Andre steadily always reading defensive lineman's stances, and he's great at picking up little nuances. Yeah. That I'll be honest, I'm over here looking at how they're lined up. I'm looking
right.
at, you know,
right.
kind of what is he tighter, is he looser, stuff like that. But
he's looking,
I mean,
to see if his feet are even or staggered.
Andre's great at finding these tiny little tips. I'm like, I don't know how you saw that, but I'm glad you did. Good work, bud.
Yeah.
So
it is though. It's incredible how, you know, a defensive lineman will look to see, you know, how your weight shifted, if the weight on your hand, you know, if it's more weight, you're run blocking, less weight, you might be, you know, hunched back a little bit in pass protection. They're reading your feet. Oh, if your feet are more parallel, you're pulling. If they're staggered, you're coming off the wall. I mean, all these things that people, you know, the fan doesn't understand a lot. People say, why the heck do these guys, why do they spend all those hours? What are they doing all that time? There's a lot that goes on during the course of even one play. People would be shocked to know how much preparation in terms of you know, looking at everybody's stances and where their lineup configuration calls you have to make. They move pre-snap to something different, and now you have to, a whole new set of calls. I mean, there's I'm not saying that it's you know, rocket science, but I'm saying it's a lot more than people think it is.
Well, and, you know, back to those, you know, why are you watching those hours of tape for that one tip, you know what I mean? That one tip could end up being the difference in the game.
Right.
You know, you catch this guy's stance and figure out what stunt they're about to run,
right,
you know, on a big third down conversion in the game. I mean, that could be the difference in a pressure. And, you know, for an O-lineman, that could be the difference in a pressure and a sack or you know, a clean pocket and that completion down the field that, you know, now all of a sudden you're first down and you're rolling again, you know. So those you never really know when those little tips are going to come into play, and, yeah, and maybe they won't. Maybe you sit there and you look at it, and you just looked at all this stuff, and you don't get that tip. You're like, geez, you know. But
right,
obviously, you'd rather be on the safe side there than go in unprepared.
I know, you know, I used to love a running back that would stick his face in there and blitz pickup, you know, and get that part of the job done. So guys must really respect and appreciate Gio, because that sucker will pass protect.
He's not scared.
He is not the least bit fearful. He is not squeamish. He'll very willingly stick his face mask right in there. And I thought the call that went against him in Pittsburgh, the T.J. Watt call, was bogus, because the referee is looking right at it. He doesn't throw his flag. The umpire sees T.J. Watt politicking. The ball is in the air. He doesn't throw his flag till the ball is in the air and T.J. Watt is, you know, bitching and moaning and politicking. And it's like, you're throwing the flag now? I mean,
you said it, not me.
And when you look at it, though, you look at that game. If that play, that's the difference in the game. I mean, there's 25 plays in that game, obviously, but that play was huge. And it ended up costing you 4 points because, you know, you did kick a field goal. You recovered and got points out of the drive. But that was 7 points off the board. If you beat Pittsburgh, you know, it might be different against Chicago. Everybody lost this week that you wanted to lose. You guys would have been the 7th seed right now. Mm. You'd been on the doorstep of the playoffs still.
Mm.
Son of a gun, man. I got to find that umpire's address and send him a nasty Christmas card. God, I threw that flag so late. I'm telling you what. That dude aggravated me more. The fact that he called it was one thing, but the fact of when he called it, I'm thinking, dude, how much money? What's the line? What'd you put down in this game? What the heck?
On that holiday note, we'll take a break so I can keep Russell away from any fines if anybody's listening. It's a Bengals Eye presented by Bud Light. We're at the Holy Grail Banks on News Radio 700 WLW. 7:48 News Radio 700 WLW. It's Bengals Line presented by Bud Light. We're at the Holy Grail Banks, First Star Logistics, Bengals Radio Network. The bucket has been signed.
Yes.
We are official.
It's all official.
For tonight.
Right on.
I asked this next question not to get Dave wound up again, just out of curiosity. We were talking about, I'm not going to get anybody in trouble. We were talking about studying tendencies of your opponent. Going into a game, are you aware of tendencies of officiating crews? Like, do you know that this crew is known for calling this or a high percentage of that? Are you aware of, do you want to know about stuff like that?
Yeah, we do, actually. Marvin gives us a brief little rundown, usually Friday morning, and just go through who the crew is, anything that they've called that's out of the ordinary, stuff like that.
Right.
I would say most of the time it's your normal stuff. Offensive holding, defensive holding, you know, pass interference, all the calls that are, you know, obviously the most common calls in the game anyway. But, you know, if there's anything that sticks out, they'll make a point of it.
Walt Anderson and that crew in the Pittsburgh game, second most flags in the league for officiating crew, number two in terms of volume of flags. And they just didn't disappoint on that Monday night. And to me, if I'm the league and you want viewership and every other play is being interrupted by a yellow handkerchief, I'm like, this is a competitive game. This is what the NFL wants. Two teams that are going at, let the players play. Let the players decide the game. Don't decide the game by yellow hankies. The game, you're not the game. The game isn't about you striped jersey guys. The game's about the jersey guys with the numbers. Let them play the game. Ridiculi.
I will agree with you, and we will note that Russell just sat.
I thought we weren't getting fired up.
Yes, yeah, we weren't getting fired up. You are, if I remember correctly, in the times we've had you here in the past, you are a hunter, correct?
Yep, that's true.
To what extent? To what type? What? Tell us how good. Are you a good hunter?
Some days yes, some days no. But a little bit of everything. I'd say, you know, waterfowl is my favorite, ducks and geese. Gotten pretty big into bow hunting deer up here.
Is that right?
That's bow hunting's not quite as big of a thing in Virginia as it is up here.
You go with Eifert at all?
We don't hunt together, but yeah, we're always talking about it.
Talking about
it, yeah. Sending pictures back and forth, that kind of stuff. So.
You got a good dog for your waterfowl?
I do, actually. I do. Yeah.
How long you had this dog?
He was 3 in November.
Really?
So I can't take all the credit for training. I've sent him off 3 times now, actually. During training camp, I'll send him off because, you know, I can't obviously obviously take care of him, so he might as well do something productive.
Right.
And but, you know, he's good. He's my sidekick for pretty much the whole month of January.
So what was your best hunting day? How many did you bag?
You know, as far as, I don't know about numbers, but, you know, like me and TJ go down to TJ Johnson. We'll go down to Arkansas every year, and we've had some great hunts down there. And obviously go down, it's actually Wheatley. It's probably 30, 40 minutes outside of Stuttgart, which Stuttgart is, you know, the kind of the duck hunting capital of the world is what they call it. And, you know, we've had some great hunts down there. And like I said, you know, just all those waterfowl hunts are that's definitely my favorite.
So do you prepare your duck? I mean, can you cook? Are you
We'll cook them
pretty good.
Honestly, the best way to do it is just like bacon wrap with a jalapeno on the grill, just like you would
a jalapeno.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
I like duck. You like duck, Lance?
I don't know that I've ever had duck.
Oh, it's good.
I have visions for like a Russell Bodine cookbook, hunting cookbook.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I got a full cookbook for you, but I can.
Big
I could steal
like
a few recipes
like the bacon
from
and jalapeno, right? That's a good start. Yeah.
You can put bacon around anything, though.
Exactly.
You know? I mean,
exactly.
Bacon makes anything better, right? It's unbelievable, that stuff.
Let's take one quick timeout, come back, put the wraps on it for this hour. Russell Bodine hanging out with us at the Holy Grail Banks on News Radio 700 WLW. Heading down the stretch, 7:55 on News Radio 700 WLW in the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. We call it Bengals Line. We're at the Holy Grail Banks. Lance McAllister, Dave Lapham, and Russell Bodine, our special guest in this hour. And Dave is flipping through stats and notes. Have you found something of note?
Well, Andy Dalton had a stretch of, 193, I think, attempts, something like that, without an interception that was broken. Do you guys take pride in that? I mean, that was the longest streak in the NFL. Without turning the football over, you know, Andy, since the opener against Baltimore, now has 21 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions. Pretty good numbers. Do you guys take pride, you know, in that kind of stuff when your quarterback's performing at that kind of level?
You know, to be completely honest, I didn't even know about that streak.
Yeah.
But that's obviously a credit to him. I mean, we put emphasis on that every week. Do not turn the ball over. You know, that turnover margin in the NFL is – I'm not going to say it's 100%, you know, dictator of wins and losses, but it's up there.
It's up there, you're
right. And, you know, so obviously we go into every week, you know, we have to take care of the football, can't turn it over. And, you know, he's done a great job of that all year, just like the stats show. So credit to him for that.
We had Andre Smith with us during the course of the season. We talked fashion among offensive linemen. Who is the best-dressed offensive lineman, and where might you fall in the pecking order in your mind?
I can't say that I'm even worried about getting in that conversation. It's got to go between Sed and Andre. They care a little bit more than I do, I think. But, I don't know. I don't know if I can pick one.
All right,
there.
You have a fashion consultant right away.
I do. I do. She actually bought me a shirt before. I don't remember which away game it was. She's like, you need a new shirt. She just came over with a shirt. So, all right, I'll take it.
There you go.
I like the shirt, too. So, even
you
better.
You like it? That's good.
You need a new shirt.
That's good.
That's beautiful.
I'm trying to think of the offensive lineman in our group that was very – fashion conscious was Vernon Holland, Sookie. Mm. Sookie would he would dress out. Some crazy colors.
When Andre was here, I mean Andre went into great detail. He's big time fashion.
Oh, he is. We always mess with him. We're like, you know, Andre, how big are you gonna get when you're done playing football? I'm not, because I like clothes. I mean, that's what he said. That must be his one motivation to get down when he's done playing football because he wants to be able to wear the fancy clothes.
He didn't buy off the rack, though.
No, I don't think so.
My man doesn't buy off the rack.
I don't think so. Not many suits coming off the rack for Andre.
Exactly. I'll tell you, he's playing some good ball, though, man. He's had a nice little stretch here, hasn't he? He's done a great job at right tackle for
Yeah,
him.
For sure. He's he's settled in, and he's gotten back to what he was a few years ago, and looking good, playing good, and that's a credit to him. Obviously, we had that, like we talked about earlier, we had that rotation going a little bit, had him playing left a little bit, even just in practice and stuff like that, and but he's really settled in over there, right tackle. He's playing good.
Our hour is up. We enjoyed this. It means a lot you hung out with us. Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
How about Russell Bodine, everybody?
Good man.
2 hours in the books. Hang tight. Get a check on news. Much more to get to. Bengals Line presented by Bud Light from the Holy Grail Banks on News Radio 700 WLW.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry. We're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.